Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Well, come on in, have a seat. My name is Ricky Rivera. I'm one of the editors here at the Vortex Podcast, and I'm excited to tell you that April is Art Month here at the Vortex. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be releasing a series of episodes focusing almost exclusively on UCA's very own esteemed art department. We've got a little bit of something for everyone, from the inspired, emotionally infused ceramic work of Anna Wagner, some insight from UCA's art and writing professors on what makes for good critique. Definitely don't want to miss those episodes if you're in a creative class. And finally, one of the largest collections of interviews we've ever recorded here on the podcast, as we sit down with the students of the BA, BFA Senior Art Exhibit, as they talk about their work, their inspirations, and what it's like being an art student here at UCA. Also, as a special companion piece along with a couple of the episodes, if you follow the link in the description of Anna and the art students episodes, you'll be taken to the section of the Vortex website, where you'll be able to see the artwork being discussed. So definitely check those out because we have some amazing pieces on display. A couple more things about this episode specifically. There is a part in Anna's episode where she goes into the practicum for the art students. And because of some editing error on my part, I actually asked her that question, but it was cut out. So just know that when she answers that question flawlessly, it's because I asked her first. Also, this episode was actually recorded a while back, so a couple of things have happened between then and now. Specifically, she gives a shout out to a friend of hers named Kristen, who was going to have her show, but now has had her show. She is one of the students in the BFA senior show, so definitely check that out. Check out her art and her interview. And she also talks about the whiteboard in the library and the question that was posted, but that actually happened a while back. I think that's everything. It's time to get into the episode. So sit back, relax. Unless, of course, you're in the middle of something, in which case, please continue. But be sure to keep us on in the background as we dive back into the Vortex. From the heart of the studio art department in the Schustel building?
Upstairs studio.
The upstairs studio where, like, the BFA students?
BFA students, and then the upper division, more advanced 4388 students come to work in their little canoes.
They feel kind of like office cubicles, but, like, exploded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best way that I can explain this in, like, if you think of the war between Home Depot and Michaels.
Oh my goodness.
Like, finally came to, like, a head, and they both just exploded. This is where we are. This is paint on the walls, and there's, like, little ceramic pieces everywhere, and there's just, like, it's like a crater.
It's like when you watch Anchorman 2, and all of those newscasts come together to fight it out. That's basically Home Depot, Lowe's, Michaels, Hobby Lobby, all these art stores and all these supply stores coming together and clashing. That's what the Schustel upstairs looks like sometimes.
Yeah, it's a sight, you guys. It's really incredible. For all you who are wondering, that's this week's guest today, Anna Wagner. Welcome to the podcast. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So we actually met each other through the Vortex. We're both staff members on the Vortex. But I've known you specifically and seen you more specifically around campus promoting your project. What you're working on. It's for your senior show, correct?
Yes, it is for my practicum senior show that's going to happen in the middle of next semester. So I met you.
Go ahead. Just for clarity, like, your emphasis is...
My emphasis in ceramics.
Ceramics?
Yes.
All right.
So, I remember I met you whenever we went to the Black Box to tell our poetry and our stories.
Vortex readings in the
yes,
Black Box.
Yes, yes.
That, for anyone who doesn't know, the Vortex are doing readings in the black box. You know, anyone, not just if you're submitting to the Vortex, but even if you're not even a writing student, or you're just want to either experience
the writing of your fellow students, or maybe even share some of your own work. That's a great way to get, if you're interested, come on by. We're trying to have them at least once a month, so if that's something you might be interested, definitely go check that out. But
yes. So I met you guys through there, and I told a poem by a writer, Angela Aguari, explaining ADHD. And my project is about my experiences with ADHD and people's own experiences with ADHD, and like collaborating to make my pieces. And my pieces, they're basically sculptural function. Like, they're sculptural to represent function. They're not actually meant to be used. They're meant to be looked at and appreciated. So about a year ago, actually over a year ago, it was when I was in Professor Massey's Sculpture 1 class, and I started to make sculptures about my body whenever I was consuming Adderall for a long time. And throughout my life, I lost a lot of weight, and I was sick all the time. And it got to the point to where I was in college about a few years ago, and my family members had to tell me that they were more or less nervous, and they were scared for me because I was losing so much weight. They'll comment about how thin that my hair was getting. They'll tell me that the gap between my legs is becoming more enlarged. My ribs were starting to show a little bit. My boyfriend actually commented on my cheekbones being more pronounced. And I finally actually looked at myself in the mirror, and I looked at my body, and I looked at, like, especially my back. I could see, like, my vertebrae showing up, and I realized that I wasn't in a healthy state. And so I had to take myself off of Adderall for a little bit. And once I did that, I cut my hair short, and I just completely started all over. And so I started making art about the physical trauma that my body went through the medication. And it's this having this tug and pull, this sacrifice of what we have to give in order to receive. As someone who has, you know, ADHD like I do all my life, I had to choose between, you know, do I give up my health and my body in order to feel focused and more aware and just not feel so caught up in my head all the time, because I feel like I'm always mentally exhausted. And so in the beginning, my work was basically about where my body stood in my life. And actually, that sculpture right there was one of my first pieces. It's an alabaster stone piece, and it's of a nude woman's body in a very anorexic state. When I started ceramics about a year ago, actually, it was throwing class. I was writing my practicum, and I remember trying to find a title for my practicum, and I couldn't figure it out because I'm not a writer. I am horrible at grammar. And so I remember whenever I thought I was never going to be good enough to be a BFA student until one day, it was the beginning of a semester a couple years ago, and I was taking an interior design class, and I remember just shutting down and not understanding anything that's going on. And I called my mom and I told her, this is not the life that I want. You know, I love making art, and I don't want to do anything else because this is my passion. And she says, okay. And so that's when I signed up for the BFA emphasis. But anyway, for your BFA, you have to have a practicum. And a practicum is a huge body of work that you work on for two semesters, and then you have your senior show. And during your senior show, it's your other BFA peers, and on top of that, your BA peers. So they'll, but the thing is, whenever you are a BFA student, your body of work is more intense, and it's bigger, and it's a very large body of work. Whereas with BA students, like, they'll probably have like maybe a few things. Will BFA students have a bunch of things? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's like
because this is our sole focus.
Yeah.
We don't focus on anything else. We just focus on this. Yes.
Yeah, it's just like a show to like represent you and like what your mm-hmm. interest is and what your category of work
yes.
that you've been developing over this.
Yeah,
process,
and
right?
So through Liz Smith, my ceramic teacher, actually taught the BFA classes for a while, and so she basically taught, you know, the professional side of being an artist once you get out there. Like signing up for exhibitions, signing up for grants, supporting yourself, your finances, how to get into residencies, how to get into graduate schools. So, and that's what she teaches. And that's kind of, it's a little bit different than being a BA, because a lot of BAs will try to be a major in psychology and minor in art, or a major in art and be a minor in education, so that way they can go to elementary schools. But with us, it's more like we want to be artists.
Yeah.
We want to be professors of art. So, and it's more like a solo business for us.
Yeah.
So, I hope that explains it.
No, that totally, I think it covers it for anyone who was curious. Mm-hmm. Part of why I really was excited to get you on the podcast was you actually have been going around. I don't know if you've gone around to any other classes, but I know specifically you came to Sandy Longhorn's Forms of Poetry and her Illustrated Narrative Workshop classes, which are very good classes. Anyone should take them.
She is so wonderful. I remember the first time I met her. I told her I was so nervous and I was jittery, and like she says, it's okay. And I've noticed the last time I saw her, she tends to write like these little notes to herself and says, stay calm and everything. She like showed me her palm. She's like, all you have to do is just stay calm. She is so wonderful. Oh. I adore her.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode talking and gushing about Sandy, but
I would totally listen to that. Totally would listen.
Maybe in the future. But the way that you talked about your project, about collaborating, I'm mm-hmm. really interested in like the collaboration aspect of your project, because mm-hmm. you're getting writers and poets to like explain their how ADHD, and I think also not just ADHD but also invisible illnesses, mm-hmm. Specifically of like a mental variety, mm-hmm. that like, you know, that sort of writing, that sort of things that we kind of grapple with but maybe don't talk about.
Yes.
And you're really putting just like so much effort into how, and it shows how passionate this like this project really means to you. It's more than just like, you know, I need to think something for my senior show.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, write about whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's something that I think no one could argue. It's so personal to you, but also it's not just you. It's the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And could you maybe talk about like what it's been like to go out and like go to other classes or communicate with other writers and like how that whole process has been like?
Oh my God. I sweat whenever I went to your guys' classes. You saw me. I was so nervous. My hands were sweating. I like literally took like Kleenexes to like kind of wrap it around my hands and make them stop sweating. It was honestly, I am not the social type. I've always been this way. I've always been a little bit closed off to people, and it's super hard for me to go out there and like put myself out there. And you know, whenever I started making art about, you know, my ADHD and telling people in my critiques about my work, I've started noticing that there were so many others that were like me, and they'll come up to me after the critiques and they'll tell me their stories. And I had one girl actually cry to me telling me her story, and she told me that she appreciates me talking about my life because it helped her. And it's been like that, you know, with every single class. I'll just talk about, you know, my ADHD, and just people just seem to really respond, and it makes me feel so good that not only am I not the only one in the dark, but they feel like they're not the only one in the dark. So whenever I was trying to find a title for my practicum, that's when I started looking up poems online about ADHD because I wanted something catchy. And ever since then, I just been obsessed with looking up these poems explaining so beautifully and so poignantly about ADHD. And so that's when I went to Dr. Seymour, and I was explaining to her how I could, you know, add these poems onto my work. And she told me, well, why don't you go to Sandy Longhorn? And I think you need to have like a weight to your project. And when I mean weight, I mean you need to have more professional writers on your work. So I would like ask permission from them. And I told her, well, I would like to have students here so that way when people go and see the work and they read these things, it's from, you know, the students that are right next to these, right next to the viewer, like they're right in that room. And so that's where I all started. So during the summer, it was actually during the winter break, I got in contact with three contemporary writers, and they were all so happy to be in support. I would never thought that they would get in contact back with me because they're super huge. One, his name is Ian French, and he actually, let's see if I can pull him up. He actually had a poem documentary called If the Poet, and I saw a video of him telling his poem, and I immediately went to his producer, who looks exactly like him, and, you know, I told him my project, I sent him some of my work, and he's like, hey, I look like him, but I'll definitely promote you whenever your project comes. Here, I'll send you to Ian, and that's when Ian got in contact with me. And I love listening to Ian's emails because they're so, it's like reading a letter from a pen pal. They're just so meaningful. And he would tell me about being in Montreal, and I would tell him about my study abroad in Spain. And he was just so wonderful. And he told me that if, you know, whenever your show comes up, you know, even if you don't end up using my work, I still want to see your stuff. And it was the same thing with Angela Aguari. She was in so support of it and told me the same thing. Like, whenever your show comes up, please, like, show me and let me know. So it's just really exciting that these wonderful professionals, like, will take just a regular undergrad student in such high respects to let me use their work. So it's really exciting. And then that was, honestly, I would never imagine myself going to, you know, your guys' classrooms and explaining my project, because I never saw myself as being good enough or being strong enough to do it. And, you know, I was so happy to see that you guys were really interested in my project. And I haven't gotten any emails yet. I'm actually considering calling or texting Sandy Longhorn and asking you guys if you can send some of your work in early, because the earlier the better.
Yeah.
I actually have got maybe two other classrooms, but these classrooms are, you know, my classes.
Yeah.
You know, I would tell them about the project, and I had maybe a couple more people being really interested, so I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I went really broad there, but
no, absolutely. That's I remember the way that you described it. It just like looking around the classroom in both classes in poetry and illustrated narrative, were just like people just kind of like really transfixed and like listening to like the concept of your project,
mm-hmm.
of giving like a voice to, you know, something that we don't really talk about. Just as far as like living and visualizing that sort of the difficulties of living with, you know, be it ADHD, or I know people in the class talked about, could I send you something about depression? Could I send
yes.
you something about, you know, other illnesses? And it's just sort of like one of the guys in our poetry class even like gave you
yes
a piece
I
that
actually
had,
I have
like,
it and I instantly read it, and it was just, I forgot what his name was, oh my goodness.
I think it was Michael.
Was it Michael?
I think it was Michael.
Yeah, he gave me, and I, after, you know, that first class, like, I instantly read it, and it just, it was so beautiful. And he was telling me about, you know, he was an addict for a while, and he would just be so isolated in his own home in a room. And he was in a very, he has major anxiety and major depression. And finally, he just got himself out of it and, you know, started writing poems about his life and his troubles and, like, really reaching out to God and, you know, going back to college and just helping people. And I just, listening to him, it was just so wonderful that he, it is hard. It is so hard to get out of that state of mind, especially when you're in it for so long. And it's so admirable to see someone like him get out of it and really just make a 180 in his life. And to me, so much strength. It is so much strength. And I just, I admired him, and I read his poem. It's just so beautiful. I'm definitely going to put some of his words in. I'm really excited to use it.
Yeah, I think we're all just, like, really excited to see the final result of this project, of this collaboration between words and images. And speaking more of, like, your design process and your philosophy, I noticed that a lot of your pieces have, like, a similar, like, design to them. Some of them are kind of look... it's going to be difficult to describe for a podcast.
It's okay.
You know, it's what we do.
Do you want me to bring one of my pieces over?
Sure, if you'd like to. One or two different looking ones.
Which one do you want?
Maybe some of one of the yellow ones, and then one, the red one. They're very, I think they really capture, like, the distinction of them. Could you maybe, like, describe, like, the process of actually making them and, like, what they're made out of and, like, maybe some of your... Why these designs specifically, like, really, what you're trying to say with them, I guess.
So, during my teen years, I moved out of my mom's house because she was in a very abusive relationship with her husband because he was a functioning alcoholic, and it was just fights every single day, and I realized I had to get myself out of it. And so I lived with my dad and his new wife and his new family. His wife had three kids, George, Lauren, and Leah, and they were all very close to my age. But of course, since I was, you know, dad's kid, I was kind of the awkward one that just came along with the package. George, the youngest, he is like 1 year younger than me, but we were in the same grade. He showed me comic books, and especially Batman, and we would watch the Batman cartoon shows all the time. We would watch Justice League, and he would talk to me about, you know, all the stories and, like, give me insight about, you know, the psychology of Batman. And, you know, of course, like, I wish I was much of a reader, but I'm not, but I do know a good portion of the Batman universe and some of the Justice League universe. And so I, having to read these comic books with my stepbrother and enjoying them and watching the shows, I think it has to do with my, I feel like it has a little bit of an influence to my aesthetic of my pieces, where you have these bright colors and you outline everything to, and I've always been a loose sculptor, and there's a difference between a tight building, and then there's loose building. So tight is when, I don't know if anybody's, have you ever been to Peter Pinkus's? You went to the Bomb Gallery when Peter Pinkus had his show with those beautiful, like, functional pieces with, and they were all multicolor.
I don't think I actually went to that show.
Here, I'll show you. But he also had his workshop here, and he is just tremendously amazing. But his work is considered tight. And if you guys don't know who Peter Pinkus is, look him up. He's so wonderful and so knowledgeable. And his work is absolutely, he sells thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember?
I remember these now, and yes.
There's his wife, Lori. She's so cute. But yeah, that's his work is considered tight. And then Luce, I think his name is Mike Myers. Mike Myers is also a ceramic artist. Not Mike Myers. I'm so sorry. I have to think of him later. But Luce is more like you can tell there is a fingerprint of the artist's hand. Yeah. Like, for example, this cup right here was actually built by Liz, our ceramic teacher. And you can tell, like, the looseness of it, where it's pinched and build.
Yeah, it's like, it's more, I guess, natural would be, like...
Yeah, it's more... Yeah, it's definitely more natural. Like, this is also... Not this. This is also very loose.
Yeah, it's like... Rougher, more like...
Rough around the edges.
Yes.
Definitely some personality.
Yeah. It's got some texture to it.
I've always loved that rough around the edges. There's like an artist touch to it. Like, for example, this cup. Like, I made this cup, and I literally put my fingerprints, like, right here, so that way it fits so cozy onto my hand. Nice. It is really nice. I love holding it. But I've always been into the loose, because I feel like, to me, I love, how do I explain it? I feel like the loose actually kind of represents what goes on inside me. It's chaotic. It's not perfect. It is not pristine. It's not organized. And yes, there is some organization to something that is loose, but there's just, it's the fact that it's rough around the edges. And that's what I love, because of being rough around the edges gives it character. And so I've always tried to make my work a little bit loose, but lately my work has been a little bit more cleaned up a little bit, because with some of these surfaces, I kind of need it to be a little bit more smoother to paint my figures. But I still want that character. I still want that rough around the edges kind of look. Something that kind of gives it movement and body.
Yeah, something that I really, like, love about your pieces is just, like, the... You talked about, like, the colorful and the looseness of it, mm-hmm. The actual sculpture themselves. But, and there's these bright, bold colors, and it's very, like, almost sort of cartoonish.
Yes.
But when you look at the photos, like, the... and are these hand-drawn images, like, that are...
Hand-drawn and painted on, yes.
These, like, hand-drawn and painted faces and, like, these very, like...
That's Ron Myers. That's what I meant. I didn't mean Mike Myers. I meant Ron Myers.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, a very, like, loose style.
Mm-hmm. Very loose. There's another artist that I was looking at for... I am so bad with names. It's ridiculous. I remember the art pieces. Can't remember the names worth my life. But I was watching a video, and he's retired for a while now, but he would literally, like, roll, like, he would throw a large platter, and what he would do in the middle of it, he would just, like, take a chunk out of it and just slam it right in the middle of the platter, and, like, cut some pieces, and then, like, put it back to where it was, so that way you can see that the rough cut to it, and it's just, whenever they were done, they were just so pleasing to look at. It looks like someone used it as, like, and it's what I love about, you know, whenever you're painting, you have, like, all these different colors, like, meshing together. Like, it's like a color palette. And it's just a color palette of someone's mind thinking. And yeah. So that's what I loved about that man's pieces. And that's what, yeah. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's totally, like, capturing, I think that's something that, like, your pieces and the poems that inspire them, like, really do an excellent job of really capturing the emotion and the perspective of the person they're trying to convey, right?
Yeah.
It's like, bright and colorful, mm-hmm. but also, like, not, it's also natural, mm-hmm. But the faces are just rendered and drawn in such a way that they evoke this emotion of these people. And I think it's something really special about your work.
Well, I hate using this word because I feel like in the art world, it is just overused so many times, but I feel like I can't find another word for it. So I love this idea of the juxtaposition between the loose and something that is tight.
Yes.
So how my, so once a week between me and my two friends, Kristen and Wes, we're all in the BFA, and Kristen's actually going to have her show this semester, which everybody should go to because she is absolutely amazing. And she actually makes art about depression and mental health. So I love her so much and I love her work. You should totally go to it. Anyway, we were having this discussion about with Liz where I should, how I should make my forms. And Liz told me, Anna, you do so well with these loose forms. And for some reason, your forms are just becoming tighter. I mean, why is that? And I couldn't explain it. And I told her, it's like, because I really, I don't know. It's just happening. I don't know why. It's just, I'm just thinking too hard. I feel like they just need to be perfect. And Kristen gets me. Sometimes whenever I can't explain things, which is why I wish she was here. When I can't explain things or I can't get them out, I feel like she always knows what I'm thinking and what I'm trying to convey. And she says, Anna, I think it's because this looseness is who you are, but this tightness is what you want to be. And I, ever since then, like, that's it. That's what I need to do. And so, yes, my forms are becoming a little bit more, like, reformed. But I want this looseness to still represent what it is like in here. So does that make any sense?
Oh, I think that makes perfect sense.
It's that tug and pull between who you are and what you want to be.
Yeah, I think that's a much needed perspective that people really need to see, like, not just in art, but in writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think it's a great way to really convey that sort of, you know, a sort of duality that kind of people live with, not just like with mental illness, but like I think everyone kind of in a sense kind of lives with that juxtaposition of like who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And, kind of maybe rounding out a little bit, and are you still looking for contributors to your piece? Are you still like...
Yes. I actually, so just recently I went to the Torreson Library and I talked to the woman. Her name is Amber Wilson, who is in charge of the whiteboard. And, you know, everyone knows about the whiteboard, that they have questions every week and everybody participates. And for a long time, I wanted to use that board. And so I was like, do it. So I contacted Amber Wilson and we set up a meeting. And Hannah Hanshaw was also part of the meeting. And I went to Spain with Hannah. And we all talked, and they were so helpful at how the question was going to be asked, and what even the markers that were going to be used, because there's some colors that don't show up in photographs. And they were also very thoughtful about, you know, there's always going to be some jokesters that are going to try to, you know, be funny and or negative, and they're going to lead the question to something else, and you don't want other people to react to it and then like it being completely lost.
Yeah.
So this week, I don't know if any of you saw it, but the question up on the board this week was, how has ADHD affected your life? Hashtag my ADHD life. And they put it up on Tuesday and it filled up completely within one day. And I was so excited. And so they helped me out. They took pictures and then they erased it so that way people can keep on commenting. And then more and more people just kept on just putting like these comments. And of course, I put some of mine on there. And like this one was actually, My Life is a Series of Almost is actually part of Angela Aguirre's poem that I read in front of you guys a while back.
Yeah.
And then this one right here, my father blamed my mother for me being the way that I am. Every time he looks at me, he sees her. And as I was writing that one, I hear someone behind me was like, oh, hell yeah. And like comes to the board and writes this. He puts LOL, some people mistake it as a disability. It is a blessing. And I told him, that's so wonderful. And he says, it is something that we need to talk about. And it's just seeing that excitement from people. And also my friend Kristen has a friend from high school post about this whiteboard. And he said, let me see if I can find it. He was also really excited about it and posted about it. And he said that that he was just blown away by the board and by the answers. And so it was just, it's really great that I'm actually getting, I never thought I was going to get responses like this. And it just warms my heart that it is, and it helps so much. And I'm hoping that, and I am going to use some of these answers on my pieces. So
yeah, I think I saw the board, I think on Thursday, and it was just like full up to the max, and people were still trying to write in little pieces in the corners as much as possible. But I think it shows like just how much people like really wanted to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just shows how the weight that we were talking about that your piece actually has.
Yeah.
It's really, people are very excited about like the final product and
mm-hmm.
seeing what's going to happen. So about that final product,
when is the show?
Yeah. When is the show?
It's definitely going to be, in the fall. It's going to be probably between October to November is when the show is going to be up. So you guys should definitely come. Not only am I going to be exhibiting, but a few others are going to be exhibiting, including one of my really good friends, Wes Hart. He does amazing ceramic pieces about the women in his family. So it's going to be really exciting.
And talking about like still, you're still looking for contributors, correct?
Yes, I am still looking for contributors.
So if someone wanted to contribute, are you looking specifically for UCA students or just...
Honestly, I am willing to kind of just get anyone and everyone.
If someone wanted to contribute, like how would they, I guess, is there an email or something like that?
Yes. How I explained to two of his classrooms is basically... write a phrase, a story, a word, a poem explaining your experiences with ADHD, whether that you have it or you have someone that you love who has it. You know, just tell me about it. Just talk to me. You know, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It just say something. And I personally would love it to be poems, but I know everybody's not a poet. I am definitely not a poet. But you can contact me at... awagner1@cub.uca.edu. That is awagner1, the number, at cub.uca.edu. And on the subject line, put hashtag myADHDlife. And on the bottom of the email, just write a disclaimer, write a note saying, yes, you can use this, my writing, on your work. And also, you know, put your emphasis on there or, you know, your classification. Just let me know who you are.
Yeah. I expect you to get a lot of submissions.
Really hope so.
Probably said a lot, but like everyone's very like excited about
mm-hmm.
this, about this sort of opportunity that you present to people with
mm-hmm.
the students of UCA. But I think that's all the time we have for today. And it's been great having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Hearing about your project. We look forward to hearing from you again and wish you the best of luck on your practicum and your student show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you back next time when we dive back into the vortex.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.